I like that.
Ray Brown's Talking Birds.
Made possible by the generous support of the Birdwatchers General Store, Orleans, Cape Cod. Birdwatchersgeneralstore.com.
And by Vortex Optics, with the VIP warranty. Their unlimited lifetime promise to keep you and your optic covered. Learn more at vortexoptics.com.
And by Broome, where bird feeding meets innovation. Discover truly squirrel-proof bird feeders, all backed by lifetime care commitment. Learn more at broome.com.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening. Welcome to our show, number 979. And if you're listening live on our show here on the 31st of October, happy Easter if you celebrate that. Our show is live on radio and live streamed on Sunday mornings, 9:30 to 10. Last week, after your humble host claimed to pretty much never read poems on the show, I went ahead and read one, but it was very short and it was about spring. We found that poem on the Bird News Items website. We have another one, which we found printed at the bottom of a tire shop invoice. It's actually just one line from a poem. Here it is. Pale crocuses poke through the ground, like noses come to sniff around. That's it. Short but sweet spring image. A little research uncovered the fact that that line is from a poem called March by the great John Updike. We have two avian audio postcards this morning, including and starting off with one from our own Debbie Bleacher at one of her favorite birding spots, a supermarket parking lot.
Hi, this is Debbie Bleacher. I'm in a parking lot in one of our local supermarkets here in Sudbury, Mass. It's about 8:30 in the morning, and I'm listening to one of our local northern mockingbirds make his spring debut. He is singing his heart out on top of a lamppost. Here's an ear birding tip. When you park or arrive somewhere to go birding, stop for a minute in the parking lot or the trailhead. Listen to your local mimic, because that mimic may tell you what birds you might hear or see when you're out on the trail. All right, he just flew off. I need to fly off too. Happy birding.
That was our own Debbie Bleacher, who among her many other talents can fly. Thank you, Debbie, for that report and that ear birding tip. We have another audio postcard from New England today, and this one is kind of different because it's an audio postcard without words sent to us from Dwayne Benjamin up in Bradford, Vermont. I believe we have a murder of crows here and one other bird. Thank you, Dwayne. Dwayne tells us the other bird in there was a tufted titmouse. Audio postcards, we love getting them, and we know folks love hearing them. So if you'd like to make one, grab your smartphone or digital recording device and go out in the backyard or any place else where there are some birds and do a little description, 30 seconds to a minute maybe, and then send the resulting file to ray@talkingbirds.com. That's ray@talkingbirds.com. Most folks have heard the story of Flacco, the Eurasian eagle owl who was released by vandals from his Central Park Zoo enclosure in Manhattan and became an international star as he made Central Park his home for several months, only to succumb after crashing into a building outside the park. Well, the cause of Flacco's demise has finally been determined. A necropsy showed two causes for the fatality. One was something called pigeon herpes virus, attributed to his eating feral pigeons. The other cause makes me think of our friend Gary Menon, who is a tireless advocate for eliminating the use of rodenticides that kill so many wild birds and other creatures. The necropsy showed that Flacco had been exposed to four different anticoagulant rodenticides. that are commonly used for rat control in New York City. Together, according to the Wildlife Conservation Society, which operates the Central Park and Bronx zoos, the pigeon virus and rodenticide exposure, quote, would have been debilitating and ultimately fatal even without a traumatic injury and may have predisposed him to flying into or falling from the building, end quote. No other contributing factors were identified through the testing that was performed. By the way, our friend Phil Wyterbe has a posting about Flocko on our Talkin' Birds, in our Talkin' Birds Flock. That's our Facebook page for Talkin' Birds listeners. You can see Phil's post there. Just go to facebook.com/talkin'birds. On to the Mystery Bird Contest preview. A little bit of the sound of our mystery bird. Here are some clues. It's a furtive and well-camouflaged wetland bird with a long neck, a long bill, a black or dark brown crown and back, brownish-orange sides, and an orange and white striped chest and throat. It's about 12 inches long with a 16-inch wingspan. Our bird, which breeds through the central and eastern U.S. and winters in the southern states and points south, is a marsh dweller that feeds on fish and small insects, often hanging motionless from reeds near the water's edge and jabbing at prey with its pointed yellow bill. Clues add the sound and beautiful prizes, including the Brome Squirrel Solution, 150 feeder, genuinely squirrel-proof and chew-proof too, along with five beautiful fresh-cut paper bouquets from our friends at Fresh Cut Paper, all on our Mystery Bird Contest coming along a little bit later. And here's a royal salute to another of our Talkin' Birds ambassadors, the stars of our show, who help us get the word out about birds and conservation. And we want to say thank you to Janice Bohan from Carver, Massachusetts. Thank you, Janice, right up the road from us here. And thanks to Ed Baumeister from St. Louis, Missouri, for joining our ambassadors program. Easy to do. And here's another ambassador explaining why he became one.
My name is Michael Carroll in Cloverdale, California. I became a Talking Bird ambassador because I love teaching, and as a park ranger, I've led many birding tours. And once I found out about the show, I was able to tell other people about it. And then once finding out about being an ambassador, I was on board immediately.
Talking Birds listeners, we hope you'll join our ambassadors family. Just visit our website, talkingbirds.com. Join today, and thanks.
And thank you, Michael. Still to come on our show today, we'll be happy to welcome back the Cornell Lab of Ornithology's Kevin McGowan, who will talk about the wonderful world of woodpeckers. Also today, Mike O'Connor will join us for a Let's Ask Mike segment, almost live from the archive, in which he'll express some skepticism about the idea of avian springtime romance. And up next, another one of those birds with kind of a misleading moniker is today's featured feathered friend. Today's High Plains Roaming featured feathered friend has the word bunting in its name, along with the word lark, although in fact the lark bunting is a large member of the sparrow family. The male is mostly black, with large white wing patches, a short white-edged tail, and a heavy blue-gray bill, which likely accounts for the bunting part of its name, while its beautiful song appears to explain the lark part. The female lark bunting has brown upper parts with dark streaks and whitish streaked underparts. Our bird breeds in prairie habitats from south central Canada to the central U.S., down into north Texas, and winters in the southwest states and into Mexico, and forages on the ground for grasshoppers, ants, and beetles, as well as waste grain and seeds. The singing ability of the males is enhanced by their courtship flight, in which they rise rapidly and then glide downward, singing as they descend. It's a display similar to that of Eurasian lark species another reason for lark being part of their name. Lark bunting populations have fallen dramatically since 1970, largely due to extensive habitat changes in their breeding areas, and are designated as a common bird in steep decline by Partners in Flight. It's believed that if current rates of decline continue, the lark bunting would lose another 50% of its population in the next 10 years. A bright spot is that the birds have been found to increase in numbers in lands planted back to native grasses under the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Conservation Reserve Program, although the birds' nomadic behavior makes it tough to evaluate the effect of the program in an accurate manner. The bird known as the troubadour of the plains is the state bird of Colorado, and today's Talkin' Birds featured feathered friend, Calamospiza melanochoris, the lark bunting. Welcome again to our show, number 979. Dr. Kevin McGowan is an ornithologist at the Cornell Lab of Ornithology, where, among other things, he developed the very popular website allaboutbirds.org, and where he has created a number of online courses in bird identification and behavior. And we're happy to welcome him back to Talking Birds. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Ray.
Wonderful to have you with us again. It's been a little while. Before we get to the woodpeckers, Kevin, just for those who don't know about some of the services that the Cornell Lab provides, which are so extensive, could you give us a little quick overview for those not familiar?
Sure. The Cornell Lab is a nonprofit membership organization affiliated with Cornell University, and we do a number of things. We're all about trying to interpret and conserve the Earth's biological diversity through research, education, and citizen science focused on birds and nature. Mm-hmm. And we have provided a lot of things. I've been involved mostly with the education side of stuff, including, as you say, All About Birds, which is a quick stop shopping encyclopedia for birds in North America. And it turns out we're expanding. There's now some stuff of European birds that are going to coming on to All About Birds as well. We also offer a number of products, apps that you can use, eBird to keep track of your bird lists, and Merlin to identify birds by sound or by photograph or just by what you see. And it's also a handy field guide that has images and sounds of all the birds that you're interested in wherever you go in the world. Mm-hmm. And what I'm mostly involved with right now is Bird Academy, which is our lineup of we have 25 online courses about birds and birding that people can take from the comfort of their home and work on at their own pace for however long it takes you to do it, and mm-hmm. whenever you want to do it. And that's my main goal, or my main project right mm-hmm. now is writing courses for Bird Academy.
And there are lots of them, and you cover many bird groups, but maybe you can't cover them all. So why woodpeckers, yeah. and why is their world so wonderful?
Well, we have several series of courses. We have the Be a Better Birder identification series that we're working through the tough groups to help people understand. And then we decided to have the Wonderful World of, because there are so many cool types of birds in the world that people know something about but really don't know all about them that they're interested in. We started off with owls and then hummingbirds and now woodpeckers. And the thing is that many people do not know that there are 230 species of woodpeckers all around the world.
Wow.
Almost all around the world, not in Australia or New Zealand or New Guinea, mm-hmm. but pretty much everywhere else. And what we try to do with the courses is to show people, again, it's like, we know you like them, we know you're interested, but did you know this? Mm-hmm. And that's what I love to do, is I love mm-hmm. to tell people something that they know they want to know, and then tell them something that they had no idea that they wanted to know, because they didn't know how cool and diverse and interesting these birds are.
Yeah, and that leads me to think about all these other woodpeckers. We think of them in North America mostly as kind of black and white birds with a little red there, and other than flickers and such. But some of these woodpeckers are what, as colorful as parrots in other parts
really,
of the world.
They are. That's the thing, that the what are known as flamebacks and the yellow napes in Southeast Asia and India, they're just spectacular. I mean, they look kind of like a pileated woodpecker with a nice crest, a big woodpecker with a nice crest. But as you say, instead of being black and white, they're iridescent yellow and red, and you know, with polka dotted crests and red backs, and it's just crazy, and yellows and greens. I mean, if you grew up there, you would think that woodpeckers are one of the most colorful families of birds in the world.
Indeed.
Just black and white.
And they're great architects. You have a whole section of how they're architects of the forest, and they have a big impact on the forest and on other birds too, right?
Yeah, they sure do. I mean, lots and lots of birds like to live in holes, but it's not easy to make a hole. And there are natural occurring cavities that occur from rot and stuff like that. Not nearly enough. That's why there's so much competition for bird net, for nest boxes, mm-hmm. because there aren't that many cavities out there, and the birds that nest in cavities are looking for holes all over the place. I've seen tree swallows go up and investigate the tailpipe of a truck, you know, just because, oh, that looks like a nice hole. Let's go see what it is. And woodpeckers can make their own holes, and they can make their own holes in living wood, not just rotten wood. Mm-hmm. And that's unique among birds of the world. And where woodpeckers occur, everybody likes to use a woodpecker hole, mm-hmm. because they're very well made. And the weird thing is, even though it takes so much work to make a hole, most woodpeckers, not all, but most woodpeckers actually only use that hole once, mm-hmm. because it's actually the process of digging a new hole is what is like courtship. It works in the courtship of the bird, so that when the male and female get together, first thing they want to do is, let's make a new hole. And it gets them going, gets them synchronized, mm-hmm. and it's a big part of the male and female getting together and making eggs putting eggs in that.
And so on, yeah. And you also talk about parts of the world that you describe where there are no woodpeckers, and how birds kind of make up for that or try to. That's another interesting and fascinating part of the course. So the main thing here to find out is, how do people sign up, Kevin? And I think you have a discount thing going now too as well.
Oh, we do. We have a sale going on until 10th of April right now. You can go to academy.allaboutbirds.org. And when you're there, make sure to sign up for the course. It's 20% off right now going through the 10th of April. And so it's... $59.99 regular price. It's now $47.99 for another week and a half, I guess it is, almost.
Mm-hmm.
Sign up there.
Yes, indeed. That is a wonderful bargain for this amazing, amazing course. Let me see if I get this right. Academy.allaboutbirds.org.
That's correct.
That's how to sign up there. And do it now as you can before April 10th. Dr. Kevin McGowan is an ornithologist at the Cornell Lab of Ornithology, creator of marvelous online courses in bird identification and behavior, including this latest, The Wonderful World of Woodpeckers. Congrats on this latest course, Kevin, and thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much. It's fun to be here.
Kevin McGowan here on Talkin' Birds, and up next, it's our Mystery Bird Contest in just 1 minute.
The flutter of a tail feather. The flash of a wing bar in mid-flight. You don't always have a lot of time to identify a bird in nature, let alone to appreciate its beauty. But with Vortex Optics, you'll have the power to bring every wild moment closer. When you choose Vortex, you're choosing to have a partner in the field as passionate about nature as you are. Whether you're spotting old friends on the backyard feeder or packing for a once-in-a-lifetime trip to add a few species to your life list, Vortex offers a full range of optics and optics accessories for every birder and every budget. And whether the birds are taking you to another state or another country, you're always covered by the Vortex VIP warranty, an unlimited lifetime promise to keep you and your optic covered. If you'd like to learn more, or if you need help choosing your next optic, give Vortex a call at 1-800-4-VORTEX or visit vortexoptics.com.
There's that somewhat less than melodic mystery bird. Our mystery bird contest is now underway, at which point we urge you to call as soon as you can and tell us what that bird is or take your guess. No correct answer means a drawing will determine our winner. So we do what we can to make sure we get a winner every week, whether we get a right answer or not, which we usually do. Our mystery bird is a furtive and well-camouflaged wetland bird with a long neck, a long pointed bill, a black or dark brown crown and back, brownish-orange sides, and an orange and white striped chest and throat. It's about 12 inches long with a 16-inch wingspan. Our bird breeds through the central and eastern U.S. and winters in the southern states and points south. It's a marsh dweller that feeds on fish and small insects, known for often hanging motionless from reeds near the water's edge and jabbing at prey with that pointed yellow bill. Clues there on the mystery bird and the sound, and a Brome squirrel solution 150 feeder is one of our prizes for the winner. It's genuinely squirrel-proof and chew-proof as well. Easy to clean, has a vented seed tray to keep the seed fresh and dry, and it comes with the Brome lifetime care warranty. It's a beautiful feeder. And speaking of beautiful, we have those fresh-cut paper bouquets from our friends at Fresh Cut Paper, including bird-themed bouquets, by the way, among their selections. And an important thing, too, their bouquets have a very small fraction of the carbon footprint of imported flowers, and they last way, way, way longer than any flowers. 781-837-4900 is the number to call. That's 781-837-4900. Let's ask Mike, almost live from the archive, in just 1 minute.
Welcome to a world where bird feeding is enjoyable for both you and your feathered friends. Introducing Squirrel Buster Bird Feeders by Brome. Our innovative feeders are designed to keep squirrels at bay, ensuring that your garden birds get their fair share. And the best part? We offer lifetime care for every feeder, making your purchase worry-free. Transform your garden into a bird paradise and keep it that way forever. Sorry, squirrels. It's just for the birds this time. Visit brome.com, B-R-O-M-E.com, to discover our full range of Squirrel Buster feeders and join the Brome family today. Brome, where birds come first and our commitment to you lasts a lifetime.
Than a month past Valentine's Day, so Mike O'Connor is here to give us a reality check about birds pairing up here in the spring season, but not necessarily falling in love. Can it be true, Mike?
Oh, I know. I'll probably get hate mail for saying this. I know a lot of my customers, and I think that's a lot of reason why people feed birds. It's kind of fun. You see them coming, and then this year, you know, in the spring, this time of year, they come in and they almost like couples. Even in my yard, I live near the water, and my mother-in-law who lives with me, she puts out, don't tell anybody, but she'll put out a crust of bread once in a while when she can't finish her lunch, and the gulls will come down, and I usually fight over it. But now the gulls come down and pairs. Mm. One will come down, grab the bread, and as soon as the other one grabs it, the other one flies off. And the birds are going, the doves are off, going off in pairs, and cardinals certainly are off paired up. And mallards, you go to a pond, there's always male and female together. And, you know, my customers think, you know, like romantic thoughts, but it's really not always the case, because it's in birds, it's just about reproducing the species. And when a couple forms, a male's job is to keep the other males away. He wants to pass on his genes through the female. So he's not emotionally attached to this female. He just wants to keep the others away. So he's doing a little bit of mate guarding, keeping the other ones away. And on the same token, the female appreciates the male because it keeps the... She doesn't have to, you know, she might have a headache. She don't want to deal with all the other males coming around. And also, she's also got nesting and stuff, so she doesn't want to have to be dealing with males coming in and bugging her. So it's kind of, and it helps defend the territory. So he's keeping, you know, the perimeter by providing, especially with mallards, they don't necessarily protect the nest, but they protect the feeding area. So when she gets off the nest, there's no ducks fighting for that one place to eat. He kind of protects that area. So it's a nice idea, but basically it's to pass on the genes. And then tests have shown that doesn't even always work, because the nice romantic couple, oftentimes another male will sneak in when the old man's not looking, and genetic testing has shown that sometimes with more than one father, oftentimes with more than one father on a nest site, you know, like it's not the original dad that we all see singing high in the tree, but while he's singing, sometimes another one will sneak in. So, yeah, it's ugly out there, right? It's really ugly out there.
But they do bring gifts. The males often will bring gifts to the female. That seems kind of a loving thing, too. You're seeing through that too. I think.
I don't know if that's. I think that's more of a human thing than that.
Right. Are they copying us, maybe? Or they see us going to the flower store and say, "Hey, let's. I'm going to try that."
Yeah, maybe.
All right. Thanks for the reality check, Mike.
I'll do more research on that, and we'll talk about it next week.
All right, Mike O'Connor down there at the Birdwatchers General Store, Orleans, Cape Cod.
Massachusetts, there was the other part of that. We're back here to the mystery bird contest. That's our bird that we're trying to identify here. And Johnny is somewhere in Florida, down there in the Sunshine State. Good morning, Johnny.
Good morning, Ray.
Good morning. You heard those clues, Johnny, and maybe in the sound of the bird, and what did you come up with there?
How about a least bittern?
Let's see if this is correct. Yes, it is. Nice. A least bittern. Exactly right. A pretty fascinating bird that can make itself amazingly skinny. I read this thing where the John James Audubon had a young captive least bittern that could walk between two books standing 1.5 inches apart, even though bird is 2.25 inches across. Kind of an amazing little adaptation. I think we have time for a bonus question if you'd like to try it, Johnny.
Sure thing, Ray.
All right. A wildlife park in eastern England hatched a plan to deal with its parrot problem. Five of their parrots, African greys, that had been donated had to be isolated from the flock to try to help them improve a certain aspect of their behavior. So the question is, what bad behavior were these parrots exhibiting that the park wanted to stop? Is it A, they were biting the hands of their handlers who tried to feed them? B, they were starting fights with other parrots? C, they were using really foul language?
As much as I'd like it to be C, oh, is there another one?
There's one more. This one is really bad. They were talking during the Talking Bird Show.
Yeah. That can't happen. Let's go with B.
B would be they were starting fights with other parrots. No, actually, they were using the really foul language.
That's what I was leaning to.
It kind of makes you swear. No, it doesn't. But anyway, Johnny, you have won those other beautiful prizes, and if you'll stand by there, Jesse will get your info, and we'll send them to you.
Thanks, Ray. Great show.
Thank you so much. Thanks, Johnny. Johnny down in Florida. Correctly identifying the least bittern as our mystery bird. A quick note before we go, and that is if you'd like to support our show, Patreon is the new way to do it. If you go to patreon.com/talkingbirds, you'll get all of the info right there. Meanwhile, thanks to our amazing Talking Birds team, Debbie Bleacher, and thanks, Debbie, for that audio postcard today as well. Freya McGregor and our producing engineer, Jesse Wilkins. I'm Ray Brown. See you next week.
The Bird Show. I like that.
Ray Brown's Talking Birds.
Made possible by the generous support of the Birdwatchers General Store, Orleans, Cape Cod. BirdwatchersGeneralStore.com.
And by Vortex Optics. With the VIP warranty, their unlimited lifetime promise to keep you and your optic covered. Learn more at VortexOptics.com.
And by Broome, where bird feeding meets innovation. Discover truly squirrel-proof bird feeders, all backed by lifetime care commitment. Learn more at brome.com.